Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. Are you ready for what God has this morning? Has your anticipation been rising throughout the week as, man, I cannot wait to come on Sunday morning to get with God's family, to get in this church, in this location, to see what God has for me through His Word, and to see what God can do in my life, and to see how I can leave here different than how I came in? Has that been your expectation this morning? That's mine. That's mine this morning. And I want it to be ours. I want us to own it because I believe the simple verse that we are looking at this morning is a game changer. My wife was listening to a sermon. Well, let me just throw this out. All of God's Word is a game changer if we listen to it. Okay, I mean, every Sunday you have the opportunity to have your game changed, whatever that means. But my wife always has a sermon going on in our house. We have a computer in our kitchen. She was listening to this pastor from Elevation Church, and he kept on using the word over and over and over. This is a game changer. This is a game changer. It's something if you grab a hold of. It's something that if you receive. It's something that is reawakened in you, whatever. It's something that is rediscovered in you. It is a game changer. It can literally change how you see things and how you live your life. That's God's Word. It's a game changer. And although my sermon has nothing to do with what he preached on, I'm like, that's true of what God has laid on my heart for this morning. I believe it is in me. As I'm sitting there preparing this word and going over, thinking, man, this is like 10 words in God's awesome Bible for me that if I listen to and if I apply it to my life and I let it change my attitude and my disposition, that it is a game changer. And I believe that's for us, this morning is I am ready to have my game changed. I'm ready for newness. I am ready for something even more real than what I've ever experienced. I am ready for a move of God within my own life. I'm not even talking about you. Within my own life that is authentic, that is genuine, that is lasting, and that lifts me up out of my circumstances. I am ready. And I believe that's what we are going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at this idea of thanks living. Say, Steve, you spelled Thanksgiving wrong. Exactly. It's thanks living. Because what we see in God's Word today is God shares with us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, something that's more than just a season. Something that's more than just one day out of the year. It's something that's supposed to be a lifestyle. Something that is supposed to be in us. It's something that's supposed to mark who we say that we believe in. You know, when we call ourselves Christ followers, it's supposed to, we are pronouncing out of the world, something is different in me because of what Christ is doing within me. It's actually something that sets us apart. And I believe this thanksgiving that we see here is something that should set us apart as believers. And so thanksgiving is just a really fancy way, it's not a real word, but I like it, of saying we need to rediscover gratitude. We need to live gratitude. We need to live gratefully. We need to live thankfully. It will change so many things in our lives if we let the attitude of gratitude come in. And so I was studying this thought of gratitude because Pastor, before he left, he said, Steve, you know, I'm challenged by something. When you look through the Gospels and you look at all of the miracles that Jesus has done in so many lives, how many times do you see somebody turn to Him and say, thank you? Very few. All the things that he did. And I see it's almost kind of a part of who we are. There's so many things that God does in our lives every day that we don't even give Him credit for doing, but yet He does. And so I was studying this thing of gratitude, and there's an actual scientist that has studied the impacts of gratitude on everyday people. And so his name is Robert Emmons, and he's a leading scientific guy on the importance of gratitude in life. And this is what he did. He studied over 1,000 people from the ages of 8 to 80 and found that people who practice gratitude consistently report the following things. There are physical changes when people are more grateful. And this is it, or is what he found. There are stronger immune systems. People are bothered less by aches and pains, lower blood pressure, exercise more, and take care of themselves better, and they sleep longer and feel more refreshed when waking up. Why? Because they were more grateful. There's psychological benefits that he found. He says higher levels of positive emotions. Oh, Lord, let that flow into all of us this morning. Because you're grateful, there are higher levels of positive emotions. You're more alert. You're more alive. You're more awake. There's more joy and there's more pleasure. There's more optimism and there's more happiness. This is what he found in people who were what? Who practice gratitude. And there's more social. There's social benefits of living thankfully, more helpful. People are more generous. They're more compassionate. They're more forgiving. They're more outgoing, and they feel less lonely and isolated because they practice gratitude. They have thanks living. And so this is, and so he took all these things together, and he has this whole big long article that has 12, a bunch of different things that he found, but I'm going to share four. How is gratitude helpful? And this is what he found. One, gratitude allows us to celebrate the present. Let that sink in this morning. And this is what he says. It makes us appreciate the value of something. And when we appreciate the value of something, we extract more benefits from it. Two, he said gratitude blocks toxic negative emotions, such as envy, such as resentment, and such as regret. Three, well, there's evidence showing that gratitude can reduce the frequency and duration of episodes of depression. Living thankfully. Three, grateful people are more stress resistant. How many of us need to be more stress resistant? I'm preaching to myself here. There's tons of studies that have been done showing in that in the face of serious trauma, in the face of adversity, in the face of suffering, if people have a grateful disposition, they'll recover more quickly. This is what he found scientifically. And one more, grateful people have a higher sense of self-worth. And this is what he found. He says, because when you are grateful, you have the sense that someone else is looking out for you, that someone else provided for your well-being, which makes you feel what? It makes you feel special. It makes you feel I'm important. If somebody stops enough to look at me and to think and to help me with something that I need in my life, I must be worth something. Gratitude helps you with that. And when I was reading that article, I went straight into my study and I read this verse that God laid in my heart. I'm like, you know what he found out scientifically is what we've had in the Word for a long, long, long time. So we have this verse. Gratitude is impactful. It's life-changing. It's a game changer. And so we see this in this verse this morning. A simple verse. A verse I think we took just a little bit of time on. You can memorize it and have it in your life. This is what the writer says to the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? This is God's will for our lives. Giving thanks in all circumstances. It's a game changer. And so there's a few things that we are going to look at here. I know we can all agree why prayer is important. Raise your hand. I, as a believer, I'm supposed to pray. We can all land on that one together. Steve, I believe it. I don't know if I do it, but I believe it's good. Rejoice always. Joy is important, right? Raise your hand if you believe. As a believer, we should have joy. We should be able to rejoice. But do you put gratitude up with prayer? That's what I'm looking at here. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And then it says, and if you can, if you don't do those things, well, give thanks. He says, no. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. As a believer, as a mark of a Christian, I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to believe in God. I'm supposed to have faith. But I'm supposed to live thankfully. It's important. It's up there with everything else. He's saying, hey, do this, and do this. These are of equal importance to somebody who calls themselves a Christ follower. So there are three things this morning that we are going to look at here. Real simple. You should be able to walk away with these and say, hey, I remember this is point one, this is point two, this is point three. It's going to change my life forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's go. So that's what we are going to be looking at. A few things from this powerful scripture. The gratitude can be a key in our spiritual lives, just as prayer and just as joy is. Who's ready? Who's ready? And so, as we break this down, Paul starts off very powerfully and says what? Very front, give thanks. Say that with me. Give thanks. Right? And here's what we see. Thanksgiving begins with being thankful. And yes, I added an L on purpose. You're going to see a lot of on-purpose misspellings here. Because as Christians, giving thanks should be something natural. We should be full of it. If there's something we should be full of, it is thanks. Amen? And so what does he mean here when he says, give thanks? Well, the word here is a Greek word that means to be actively grateful. Actively. In your life, I'm grateful. It's active. It's alive. It's awakened. It's going. It's experiential. It's active. It's not dead. It is active. But it also means to express gratitude towards someone. In the article that I read earlier, Dr. Robert Emmons said, gratitude is an affirmation of goodness, affirming that there are good things in the world, and a discovery of the source of that goodness. Do you see the spiritual correlation there? Giving thanks is what is the affirmation that good things are happening. Raise your hand if something good has ever happened in your life. Maybe one time. One time. We live thankfully by what? By remembering even that one time. I remembered when I found myself at the foot of the cross, and I remember how that felt when I realized God loves me, and He saved me, and He sent His Son down for me. I remember. I'm thankful every day. I'm thankful every day that I get to walk in His grace. That no matter how hard I follow after Jesus and I stumble, that He picks me up again because He loves me so much. That is good. How many of you experience that each and every day? We are thankful for something just like that. Our English word for gratitude is really similar. The quality, it's the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and readiness to return kindness for. That's gratitude. And so we see it in two parts. There's an attitude of gratitude, and there's actions of gratitude that come from this. An attitude is what? It's a settled way of thinking that impacts how you live your life. What happens when we replace thanklessness with thankfulness? Do you think that's going to impact how you go about your day? Do you think it's going to impact how you order something at Starbucks? Do you think it's going to impact how you get gas? Do you think it's going to impact the stranger that goes right beside you? Do you think it's going to impact anything at all? It's going to. And Christians, we should be actively grateful. And here's the next part of this. Our gratitude should always flow in one direction. Guess. Guess what happens when we develop and cultivate an attitude of gratitude? It's no longer thanksgive me, it's thanksgiving. There's nothing you can do that is not dependent on God. Nothing. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So when we are thankful, I'm thankful today that I was able to wake up. I'm thankful today that I was able to take a shower. I'm thankful today that I was able to put clothes on. I'm thankful today that I get to stand here and preach the Word of God. I am thankful, and all glory and all honor goes to a God who is able to help me do everything. I'm thankful that my family is sitting right there and in church. I am thankful for it. It's because of Him, not because of anything I've done. But I'm full of thanks, and my gratitude goes toward God. When I see my daughter up here singing this song, how beautiful. I can't help but cry. Like I said, it's beautiful to see what God's doing in her that she gets to share with you, and I just get to sit and enjoy it. I'm thankful that God is doing a work in my family. I'm full of thanks. We should be a people full of thanks, and our thanks should be to an almighty and powerful. Gratitude starts with the great I am. It's all because of Him. Thanksgiving begins with being thankful. I can't even see. Our thankfulness should be reserved for one entity. I love that song, and we're going to do it at the very end of it, because it's a amazing declaration. We do this song called Great Are You, Lord. It says, you know, you give life, you are love. Right? Or have you heard that lately? You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Are we thankful for those things? And then guess what it says? Great are you, Lord. We're telling Him. And guess what it says then? It's your breath in my lungs, and I pour out my praise. Every time I sing that song, I don't care. There is no excuse great enough for me to shut my mouth. Because the very breath I take in to speak a word, that was God's and He gave it to me. And the least I can do is give that back to Him. That's living gratefully. That's living thankfully. God, I have not guaranteed the next breath, but this is what I know. You gave me the last one, and I'm going to praise You for it. I'm guaranteed the next day, but You gave me one. I'm awake. Thank You, Lord, right? I'm living thankfully. It's because of Him that I get to do anything, say anything, be anybody. He defines who I am, and I'm thankful for that. It's Your breath in my lungs, so I pour out my praise. Pour out my praise. The rocks should never cry out louder than God's people. Never. It's His breath. He breathed it into me in the first place, and I should never take one breath for granted. Not one. Thankful. Thanksgiving. I love how Pastor Tony Evans says it. I don't know if you have heard Tony Evans. Man, that guy can preach. But I was reading his thing on thankfulness, and this is what he said. He says, God is the entity that is most taken for granted in the entire universe. He says, there's absolutely nothing we can do that is not dependent on Him. Every breath we take depends on Him to provide the oxygen as well as to make our lungs work. Are you thankful for that? Just lift up your hand if you're thankful for that at all. He goes on. Everything we have is supplied by a source beyond us. Thankful. The money in our wallets was printed from the paper from trees that God made in the ground that He owns in the first place. Thankful. The gold jewelry we wear around our necks or wrists or fingers is from a deposit God provided. Scripture says over and over that God is the source of all good things, so we know He doesn't want us to forget the fact that He gave us everything that we have. It is all His. Yet, He says, we are ungrateful at times, unhappy with what we have, and wanting more of what we don't have. He says these attitudes prevent us from focusing on God's graciousness. God has given us countless things to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And I think we should take a cue from some of our ancient Jewish brethren, and even some today. They have this prayer called a bracha. And what it is, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a couple verses in Deuteronomy that they took to heart. Wouldn't it be great when we take God's word to heart? Man, it's amazing. Deuteronomy 8:10, it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. At noon, when you leave here and you go eat, thank God for it. Even if, God, I thank you for the 1 billion calories I'm about to eat from the Steak and Shake burger. Whatever it is, just thank Him for it. But then it goes on. He follows with a warning, and this is what he says. And when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That doesn't happen to any of us, I'm sure, that when we're high on the mountain, things are going well, that we forgot who the source of it all is. And so what they did is, we don't want to forget. And so they developed these prayers called brachas that are prayers of thanksgiving. They have a prayer, right? And to make sure it's focused on God, they put this one line in there. And they start every prayer with this. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. For, fill in the blank. Right? So when you wake up in the morning, this is how it's going to sound. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, for giving me one more day. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, for the very breath in my lungs. When you open up your eyes, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, for opening up the eyes of the blind. And guess what? They even have a prayer, a bracha, a prayer of thanksgiving for going to the bathroom. I will not recite that one here, but they have one. How would we fill in this blank? How would we? What has happened today that you should give God glory and credit for? How many prayers of thanksgiving? Right? That's what this is. Thanksgiving is being thankful. Well, here, write this down somewhere or whatever, and throughout the day, list all the things that you get to do that you forgot God was the source of, and say, God, I am thankful that you gave me that today. I'm thankful that I made it safely home. I'm thankful that I came to church. I'm thankful that I have a church family. I'm thankful there's not somebody coming through the door saying that I can't worship God today. I'm thankful that there's a group of people who will get on the stage and lead me in worship, even when I don't want to. I'm thankful that there's teachers back there who do a hard job pouring into our students. I'm thankful that people rise up and step up. I'm thankful that I have breath. I'm thankful that I can do what I'm doing. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, for everything in my life. Something happens when we lose that. The opposite of thankful is thankless. And thanklessness is a result of forgetfulness. We should never be so removed from God that we forget what He has done in our lives and we forget to be thankful for. Right? You can say, Steve, that's a kind of weird way to have all those prayers over all those things. I mean, that is nuts. Well, guess what it does? It instills in you the sense that God has never left you. If you give Him credit for every single thing in your life, if you give Him praise for every breath, if you give Him praise for every step, if you give Him praise for everything, guess what it does? It reminds you that He has been with you through the whole day. God was with you when you woke up. God was with you now. He's with you now as you sit in your seat. He's with you now as you yawn. Ricky? Don't ever forget. Don't ever let yourself get so far removed from God that you forget He's behind it all. Thanksgiving is being thankful. And do we realize? I thought I'd throw this verse in there because we all want it. Now listen to this verse, Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. What's the writer to, or the Romans saying there? Thanklessness comes from a foolish and a dark heart. Thankfulness comes from an alive heart tied to God. Where are we at this morning? Moving on. Two, the second thing we see, he says, in all circumstances, and this points to the fact here that Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, not just a season. I'm thankful that we have Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that my family gets together. I could look at all of them, but how many times it becomes a chore rather than a blessing? I have to go here, I have to go here, I have to go here, I have to eat this. I mean, I'm complaining about overeating. But yet, this is supposed to be a lifestyle. A mark of a true follower of Christ is an attitude of gratitude. It's a lifestyle. He says, in all circumstances. It's never meant to stop. And you can see it. Just read that verse. What? Rejoice what? Rejoice always. What does that mean? Always. Pray continually. What does that mean? Continually. And in all circumstances, give thanks. Do you see something there? It's not meant to stop. Pray without ceasing. Right? Have you ever heard that before? I haven't. It's not supposed to stop. A thankfulness. And according, there is not a circumstance in your life where gratitude is not meant to reside. Right? Our lives are full of a set of circumstances. You're born into this world. Well, that's a circumstance. You learn to walk. Well, that was trying. I stumbled along the way. You learn to talk. You learn to eat. You went to school. Some of you. You're getting through school. Can I tell you what? In today's day and age, getting through school is a major circumstance. There are a lot of things going on to make it. There's AKA adulting. If you don't know what that word means, it means growing up. Is that not full of its own set of circumstances? How about just having relationships and maintaining those relationships with a Christ-like attitude? Does that not come with its own set of circumstances? So life from the beginning to the very end is a set of circumstances that we walk through, and hopefully we are walking with God through each and every one. And what the writer here says, in each and every circumstance, give God thanks. He's not saying, I'm thankful for being in the valley. He's like, but in that valley, I can thank God for being with me there. Continuance is one of my favorite words. If He ever moves me on from here, I challenge you to go through each and every one of my sermons. There's not that many. Look at how many times I use that word. Continuance is the state of remaining in existence or operation. And what you see is when you study God's word over and over and over, when He says do this, He's saying, I want you to continue in that. Pray. I want you to continue praying. When you read God's word, I want you to continue studying. I want you to continue reading it. I want it to be the state of your existence. And this is the same thing when you come to give thanks. He's saying, I want it to be the default setting of your life is to remain grateful. Continual, over and over. It's meant to exist in every season. If you look at David, David knew the ebbs and flow of life. Read through his Psalms, and you can see it. In one, David wrote, King David, in Psalm 23. Everybody has heard that psalm before, right? You know, raise your hand if you've heard Psalm 23. If not, you're going to hear it right now. Listen to this. David knew what it was like to be on the mountain, and he knew what it was like to be in the valley. 1 through 3, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Right? "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." David knew what it was like to have everything go in his way. God was his shepherd, and he followed him wherever. And we know what it's like to praise from the mountaintop, don't we? Bank account's good. The cars all work. Kids are all saved, and they're all obedient. During that one random moment, we lift up our hands and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this glorious life." Right? But what's it like to have gratitude in the valley? Because this is what also David said. If you go to verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David didn't say, "I thank you so much, Lord, for this valley that you're leading me through. It is the funnest moment I've ever had in my entire life." He's like, "God, I'm in the valley, but I know that you are with me." One of the most powerful examples of this we see in Jesus. Go to his last supper. Go to that one moment where he is with his followers and they are having a meal. The last time before he is going to the cross. And we see Luke 22:19. And what does it say? What does Jesus say? He says, "And he took bread and gave thanks." The same word that we see in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Right? Once a month, we get together, and we lay out the elements of communion, and it's meant to point our hearts toward what happened. But have you ever asked yourself, what was Jesus really thankful for here? Have you ever asked yourself that? "Thank you, Father, that my body, symbolized by this bread, is about to be brutally tortured and broken down. Thank you, God, for the pain and the anguish that's going to come from one of the world's most horrible torture devices of all time. I'm going to hang on it. Thank you. God, thank you for this body broken for the world. Thank you." See, Jesus' gratitude was not based on his present circumstances. Jesus' gratitude was for God's grace and his righteousness that was about to happen. Jesus knew, "I'm going to suffer," right? And he went to a garden and prayed, "Lord, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but yours be done," right? He knew what was coming. He's like, "God, I'm going to start praising you now for the breakthrough that is coming. Grace is going to flow everywhere. Forgiveness is going to be able to be so strong and so powerful through my blood. It's going to cover a multitude of sins. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you. Because there's a promise beyond my circumstance. There's something coming that you are going to do, and I'm going to thank you right now in this." Can we learn it or anything there? John Piper says, "Future joy fuels your thankful endurance." I love that. Future joy fuels your thankful endurance. How do we do this? Well, here's a few things here that we can look at. I'm not going to go into or detail about it, but there's some scripture here. I encourage you to read scripture. How do we stay grateful in all circumstances? Because I'm just going to, hopefully I stand with you and say, that's one of the hardest things. I look at my daughter, Mackenzie. I look at, you know, my kids. So many times I've laid down at night wondering what in the world's going to happen in their life. We walked through almost a year of my daughter getting sick at the same exact time every month, so much so that we had no idea what was going to happen. so infected, so vitals horrible. Can I tell you, it was not the easiest thing in the world for me to say at the end of the day, watching her suffer, thank you, Lord, for that. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm just saying it's worth it. That's a lot of Christianity, right? And he says again, future joy fuels your thankful promise. How do we, one, realize this? He loves you. God loves you. I know it's a simple truth, but sometimes we forget how much He loves us. He is with us. Deuteronomy 3:16 says, be strong and courageous. Why? Do not fear or in dread of them. Why? For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. That promise didn't stop in Deuteronomy. Think of all the things that God helped you do today. Breathe. That's the proof that He's been with you all day long. God is in control. How many times do we get in that circumstance? Do we get in that storm that we forget that God is ultimately in control? I think about the disciples being in that boat with a sleeping Jesus. Right? The storm comes and they're, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Jesus is sleeping. Right? So caught up in the circumstance that they forgot about the one in the boat with them. How many times do we do that? It's easy to do when you're struggling, when you feel like you prayed the prayer over and over and over and an answer hasn't come. You start to do what? You start to throw up your hands. This is never going to change. I cannot deal with this. And you're right, you cannot, but God can help you deal with it. Keep your eyes on the one who can move the mountain. Keep your eyes on the one with a word can cause the storm to stop. With a word can speak peace into your life. Can I tell you this morning, get your eyes off of the circumstance. Because the only thing that's going to change it is Him. Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Him this morning. He loves you. He is in control. And here's one that we really need to understand. He knows better than we do. But Steve, I've been through it all. I'm pretty wise. Number one, your wisdom is a gift from God. It came from Him because He is the source of all wisdom. So guess what? He knows better than you. Remember that. You think, Steve, that's just an excuse. No, that's faith. I trust God right now in my present circumstance because He knows better than I do. Who needs that this morning? There's another reason here, and that is don't just or remember Him, but also you need to remember what you have to look forward to. Right? The gift of forgiveness for all your sins. Raise your hand if you are thankful for that, and you can, right? You don't have to earn your way to God through works. He did it. We receive it, and we follow Him. You can count on His provision. It might not always look the way that you think it's going to look, but I can guarantee this. He can provide for your life. He can give you what you need. Not necessarily what you want all the time, but what you need in that moment. He can do it. You can look forward to that. You will receive all the grace that you will ever need. That's how we keep our eyes on Him. There's a short story that I found. It says, in the late 1800s, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. And some of you are screaming on the inside just or that thought. One morning, there was no food to eat, but he called all the children and staff together and prayed, thanking God for the provision of food, even though there was no food on the table. A few minutes later, a baker knocked on the door. He told Mr. Mueller that God had led him to bake bread the night before and give it to the orphanage. Before the bread was given to the children, a milkman knocked on the door. He said that his milk truck had broken down and he wanted to give the milk to the orphanage. George Mueller gave thanks even when it took faith to do so. Give thanks in all circumstances. And yes, a lot of times it requires faith. The last one here. Thanksgiving is a mark of being a Christ follower. It's actually God's desire, His will for our life. This is what it says. Give, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will? It's His plan and His purposes for all creation and for us individually. When God formed us, when He knit us together, when He saved us through His Son, He purposed us to live thankfully. He purposed us to keep in our mind, to keep as a part of who we are, all the things that He has done over and over and over. He said, this is my desire for you. This is my will for you as a Christ follower. This is it. A mark of Christians, something that should set us apart from the world, is our thankfulness, our gratefulness, our gratitude, our thanksgiving. It's always meant to be expressed. Right? Because if you're full of thanks, you can't help but return thanks. Right? You can't help to return as something. And there's many ways that we express our gratitude through words. We did that earlier, right? Stand up, everybody. Just tell God that you love Him. Thank you, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Psalm 1 through 5 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, right? Over and over. We have it on our door. Lord, thank you. Have you ever just stopped and said, Lord, thank you? You know, or how many times I pray or over a meal, right? You sit down. It doesn't matter if it's healthy or not. You sit down. Let's say grace. Lord, thank you for this meal, amen. We did it like it's something that is not going to give me high cholesterol. But what if we actually stopped with a heart of gratitude, actually said thank you? Not out of obligation, but out of what He actually did. Do you think I would rush through it just to get it done? No. But I am guilty of it. This is a big one. You want to, one of the reasons why we sing on a Sunday morning is to collectively, as a church family, give God thanks. We sang this morning about our God is mighty to save. Are you thankful for your salvation this morning that only He could do it and He did it? We sang a song called God is Able. As I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, I cannot preach this sermon. But He's like, but I'm able to help you do that. God is able to help you today. We sang a song called Who You Say I Am, Whom the Son Sets Free is Free. I am a child of God. God defines our life. He says who we are. Are you thankful? Let me sing a song about His beautiful love. All His mercy rushing through me. Oh, how beautiful. We sing, that's songs of thanksgiving to God. Hopefully, rising up within us a way for us to say, yes, God, I came here not to worship, but I can't deny that You have blessed my life, so I'm going to lift up hands, or I'm going to fall on my face, or I'm going to just close my eyes and tell You thank you. Pastor and author John Ortberg says, I need worship, because without it, I can forget that I have a big God beside me and live in fear. I need to worship because without it, I can forget His calling and begin to live in a spirit of self-preoccupation. I need to worship because without it, I lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and prod through life with blinders on. And here's one more, and there's more. I'm just giving you three. Well, Steve, you said there's only three ways I could possibly... No. There's just a few. I'm pretty sure at 12:30 you'd say, Steve, are you done yet? I get it. There's words, there's worship, and there's kindness. One of the ways we give back is to extend what we have received. Right? Can I tell you, we don't deserve an ounce of His grace. We don't deserve an ounce of His love, but yet He pours it out into our lives. The least we can do is pour it out to other people. If the worship team hasn't already, they need to come. A true mark of gratitude or thanksgiving is whether you give back what you have received yourself. I came across this illustration. In 1860, the Lady Elgin, which was a ship, was rammed by the Augusta and sank in Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. A ministerial student named Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters of Lake Michigan to rescue each passenger that he could. And it says, in the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he had rescued that end up taking his life ever thanked him. The title of this illustration is Thankfulness is a Lost Art. God's will for us is not to lose the precious art of gratitude. What we are going to do this morning as we close is we are going to practice gratitude. Because that's what it is, right? Maybe you didn't say thank you for all those things yesterday, but maybe for the rest of the day, you'll try to keep in mind, God, I'm dependent on you for everything. Right? You practice it. Maybe you start a journal of every day writing down all the things that you are thankful of. Maybe you start praying these prayers of thanksgiving. Maybe you take time each and every day to worship God, to look at what He's done. I don't know, but there are many ways that we can start to cultivate and develop a life of gratitude within us. And it might just be the game changer that we need. What's so good about gratitude? Gratitude reminds us how dependent on God that we actually are. Is that not a game changer? Gratitude helps us see that God has actually never left us. That in and of itself is a game changer. When you are in the mess, remember that the one who can lift you out of that mess has never left you. He is with you there. Gratitude keeps us focused on God and what we have, which I call contentment, instead of on our circumstances and what we lack, which is called discontentment, right? How do we practice?